You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. John, how are you?
I'm good, Alan. How are you?
I am excellent. Devin, how are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Oh, that's good.
It is.
I have to ask, I decided to wait till on air, but John, how's the beard coming in? Because I know we talked and you were growing the beard out. How's it coming?
Oh, going well. I guess I haven't seen you in person in a while. Maybe I should send you a selfie.
Well, this just got awkward. Please don't send me selfies, John. Don't.
John, do you like the beard?
I do. I play with it all the time.
Have you always liked the beard?
Oh, I'm not wearing a shirt, so I guess I'm not going to send you a selfie. That'd be too weird.
I'm wondering, have you always liked the beard?
I always enjoy the beard. I would have facial hair more often if, you know, my wife loved facial hair. Right now, she's really enjoying the beard as long as I keep the whiskers trimmed. So it's working out nice.
Okay. But in no way are we going to say fear the beard when it comes to John.
No. I just wondered if it was something that he's always liked or if it was growing on him.
Okay. All right. Well, I know.
I always enjoy it.
I know we're starting. Yeah. Wow. Devin, I know.
Listeners, did you catch my pun? Listeners.
And I know we don't normally start the show off with beard talk, but, you know, it just had to happen. It was fun. Also, before we get into jazz talk, bracketology really quickly. Where's your bracket standing right now? I haven't looked closely. John, maybe you've looked more closely at mine. Where are we standing right now?
I haven't put ours together yet, so I haven't really paid that much attention to yours. I know mine's in deep, deep shambles. I think I went for some upsets, and I picked, like, all the wrong ones.
And I'll tell you, I will curse Devin's Irish from here on out because I picked them, and that was the wrong pick. I picked Duke, and obviously that didn't pan out. Okay, anybody that's listening, if you picked against Duke, I want to know because this is I don't know if I believe that. But yeah, there were.
Well, I had Duke still entered at this point, but at least the one I had to win it all is still alive. So I guess small blessings in that.
And Devin and I were talking the other day, and I believe the one that I had to win it all is not going to win it all anymore because I think I had the same one that Devin had to win it all, didn't I?
I believe you did.
Wasn't that Nova?
Yes, it was.
And Nova's no longer in it.
You both picked Nova?
Yes, Sweet. We did.
but we'll see.
I think I had Nova go out at the Elite Eight.
So at some point...
I had Duke upsetting Villanova. Now they're both out.
I'm just going to say this, that if your team wins at all... then it's going to come down to whose bracket is better, mine or Devin's, and then ace of base is happening between one of us. Devin, you better get your vocal cords ready, dude.
I picked I picked West Virginia. That's right. I picked against Notre Dame in the second round.
Wow.
Point Devin.
I picked Gonzaga to be in the Final Four, so I might still be slightly alive to that point. So there. All right.
I think I had Gonzaga Final Four too. Let me just look at my thing. My Final Four were... Oh, I had St. Mary's as my upset Cinderella team. So forget that. But my Final Four were Duke, St. Mary's, Kansas, and Kentucky.
You had Kansas winning it all, didn't you?
No, I had Kentucky.
Oh, wow. Okay. And they almost lost over the weekend. Were you sweating bullets in that game?
I know. I'm not too comfortable with that. At least I didn't pick Nova. That's like all I have to hold on to.
Yes, this is true. So we'll have to see how this turns out. I don't know. That's bracketology out of the way, but we had to bring that up because, you know, last week we were on that subject. So we got a lot to talk about tonight, and it's a big night to talk Jazz and NBA. I think we can all hang our head in shame. None of us picked this 4-game road trip to be 1-3. And oh boy, did it fall apart at the end. I'm assuming that's where you want to start.
Yeah. The age old caveat, injuries, but you know, I wonder if the road trip would have been any different if they had just decided to rest guys in the Cleveland game. The Cleveland game is hard fought. They just seemed to run out of gas, but then they never seemed to refill the tank when they played Chicago and Indiana. It just, they just had their shots not fall at the worst times. But yeah, I did not see a 1-3 record happening, even with Favors gone the whole time and Hood missing a good chunk of it. So I mean, I'm disappointed. Even with injuries, I would still would have thought they would have come out 2-2.
Yeah, no, and I'm the same way. And I'm disappointed. I'm not so disappointed in the shot making in Indiana more than I am in the defense. You go back and look at that Indiana game, and it's fresh on our minds. Gordon Hayward, a career night. Rudy Gobert, a career night. Both of them were really good on defense. In fact, if anybody wants to question whether Gordon was good on defense, I know everybody wants to look at that final shot and say, that was horrible, but it really wasn't. But if anybody wants to question it, go back and look at the shot attempts that Paul George took and how many it took for him to get 19 points. And I'll tell you what, Gordon Hayward defended him well. So the defense was good from Gordon and Rudy, but I felt like the rest of the team was not up to the task on defense. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, and the thing with Paul George is Hayward did a good job on him for most of the game. I mean, Paul George finished with an 88 offensive rating, one of the worst on the team. It's just that other guys, I mean, CJ Miles was unstoppable. You know, Teague got a lot of easy baskets. It was, you know, the other guys just didn't step up. I mean, Hayward was playing like he wanted to win. Rudy was playing like he wanted to win. The other guys were doing some good things. I mean, George Hill, it may not have felt like it, but when you get to the end of it and you're like, oh, 16 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. I mean, that's pretty decent in what you'd expect from Hill, but the other guys just weren't stepping up, and the 3-point shooting. I mean, Hill was 0-for-7 from 3. Joe Johnson was 0-for-4.
Ingles, you know, I think had a bad night too.
Yeah, he was 1-of-3, which for him is bad.
Yeah, it is. So, I mean, on a good night for Gordon, who again took, I think he took 24 shots to get his 38 points. On the reverse side, Paul George took 20 shots to get his 19. That tells you kind of what kind of a night it was for those players respectively. But yeah, you're right. When the Jazz needed a team effort, they did not get it. Not at all. Now you go past that, you go the previous game, two nights before they played. Forgetting Chicago? I'm trying to go back on my memory on that, but I almost honestly felt like their defense was susceptible at times against the Bulls as well. But I think that game was actually more offensive than it was defense. The Jazz really couldn't find a rhythm on offense. But I could be wrong there too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had Chicago to 95, and in today's NBA, that's decent.
Yeah.
But I mean, their defensive rating was 109, which really isn't good for the Jazz, and their offense was only a 98.9.
Right.
That was a worse night for pretty much everyone. Hayward had 14 points on 16 shots. That's never a good sign when you have fewer points than shot attempts.
Right. And to be fair, he was matched up against.
Hood was still out. Favors was still out. And Jimmy Butler was determined to have a good showing against Hayward, and he did.
Yeah, he did. I mean, and that's the crazy thing. That's two games in a row where Hayward faced two elite defenders. I mean, Paul George is a great defender, and so is Jimmy Butler. And it was a two nights, two different stories. Struggled against Jimmy Butler, but had a heck of a night, a career night against Paul George. So, you know, 1-3, Stover and done with. They need 7 wins to get to 50. I'm still confident, although less than I was a week ago, still confident they get to 50. Are you?
Yes. Not as confident, and I'll explain why. The Jazz are now 43-28. They're still fourth in the West, but there are only 11 games to go, and that means they need to go 7-4 to finish with 50 wins. Now, what do they have left ratio wise? They have 6 home games and 5 road games. That sounds decent. If you win all of your home games and get one on the road, that'll get you there. But some of these teams that might have seemed easy at some point are actually heating up very nicely. They still have 2 games against Portland. Portland has been a much better team since the All-Star break. Nurkic has really come alive there. And Portland has been making a push to get to the playoffs. And I think Portland won and Denver lost. Let's see.
Was it last night?
I guess there's no final scores. Well, yeah, but tonight, okay. So Portland's only a half game out behind Denver.
Well, let's get to that.
Yeah, I guess that was last night. It doesn't look like either of them. Okay, there it is. Blazers are they're losing to the Bucks. Bucks is another hot team.
Okay, well let's get into Portland and Denver in our NBA rapid fire, because I think we can go in depth there a little bit. But you're right. The Jazz need to find a way. They got Portland twice on this stretch. That's going to be a struggle.
Yeah. For this coming week, we have the Knicks at home. They should win. Then there's a road game against the Clippers, and they really need that game. They need that game not only for home court advantage, but also to get to 50 wins. They have to get that game. And Clippers are just schizophrenic enough that if Hood's back, I still think they could win even if Favors still isn't back.
Right.
We need Hood to, I don't know if he needs more rest or what, but we need Hood to be on top of his game for that one. And they could win that. And then there's a home game against the Pelicans. And the Pelicans have looked like they're starting to figure things out lately, so that is by no means a gimme, and it's especially not a gimme with Favors still out when you're going against Cousins and Davis. But they still should win that game. After that, it's a road game against Sacramento. Sacramento has given up on the season. They could have a 4-game win streak right there. So it sucks that they went 1-3 on the road, but that doesn't mean that the whole season's falling apart. Next is a home game against Washington. Washington's a very good team, so you hope the whole home court advantage takes effect there. Road against the Spurs, you know. Maybe you hope that's another game where the Spurs want to rest players. Who knows? Then home game against Portland, home game against Minnesota, road against Portland, road against Golden State. Oh, I think I wrote one of these wrong. Yeah, and home game against the Spurs. That last game's a home game. So, you know, you're hoping those last two games, Golden State and Spurs, are set, and so they want to rest guys. Very possible. Doable. 7-4 is not out of the question. It'll be difficult, and they'll need some luck going their way.
You also made an additional note that 7 of their final 11 games are late starts as well.
Yes. 7 of them start at 8 or 8:30, and most of those starts are because it will be national games either on NBA TV or ESPN or TNT. I don't have the breakdown of which ones are actually going to be on there. And that's also the flex scheduling, so it gives the NBA and their partners leeway as to which ones they want to be nationals. And there are a lot of good matchups in there. There are a lot of potentially showcases in there. So
yeah, there's a tough stretch ahead, but I'm like you. I am confident that they can get to 50. 50, 51 would be nice, but 50. And I still think they'll hold on to the fourth seed, because even through these last couple of weeks stretches, just when you think, oh, losing these games is bad, they're, like you said, you've got the schizophrenic Clippers, you've got Oklahoma City dropping a few here, picking up one here, dropping a few here. You got Memphis that's been up and down. The Jazz have not locked into the fourth, but are in no means in complete trouble or meltdown mode of losing it, because these other three teams are struggling just like the Jazz are.
See, I look at what they are for the year and then what they've been lately to kind of get an idea of momentum. Like their net rating, they're fourth on the year, but over the last 15 games, they're ninth. And then I look at the Clippers. Well, the Clippers, they are, over the last 15 games, they're 16th in net rating. They're actually in the negatives.
That's horrible.
So they have their own problems. Yeah. You don't want to be a playoff team on the momentum of a negative net rating.
No, you don't. So
you know, some of these teams that are on the ups, like Minnesota and Denver, those are both in top 10 teams in net rating over the last 15 games. So those are teams you don't want to take for granted when you're playing them.
No, I agree. So, all right. So, Jazz fans, take hope. Be positive. It's not over yet. Lots of basketball yet to play. So, and it begins tomorrow night or tonight, if you're listening today, tonight with the New York Knicks at home, which also a reminder to everybody, if you're going to be at the game or if you're going to be watching, it's celebration night as they celebrate the 20th anniversary since the 1997 NBA Finals team. So looking forward to being a part of that and watching that and being there. So it's going to be fun.
We need to talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
John, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is Karl Malone going to be there?
No, he is not.
Could you explain that to me? Because despite I don't understand.
Kay or Karl, one of them sent out an announcement the day of or the day after this reunion was announced that Karl had previous commitments and he wasn't going to be able to be there. But every time I see advertisements for it, I am seeing Karl Malone's image used.
Right.
And so anytime someone hears that Malone's not going to be there, that's like news to some people.
Right.
And it actually kind of bothers me. I understand Karl is like the king of the 97 team, but he's not going to be there. So stop showing reunion pics where Malone is in the picture because he's not going to be there. It's been this unfortunate. Every few weeks, someone gets upset that Malone's not going to be there. It's like, well, they said the whole time he wasn't going to be there, but the Jazz keep using him for publicity.
Right. I also want to take a minute and know of somebody else that won't be there tomorrow night. David Locke tweeted it out tonight, and I didn't get a chance to retweet it, but tweeted out a picture of another gentleman that won't be there to celebrate with everybody tomorrow night. So let's all take a minute and remember, you know, even if for a moment of silence right now, whenever it is, the late Hot Rod Huntley, who it would be wonderful to have there, but will not be there during this celebration. So, Hot Rod, we sure do miss you, man. You gotta love it, baby.
I just retweeted that. Yeah, I forgot about that.
So, yeah. All right. Is that what you wanted? Does that cover it then, Devin? We good?
Yeah. I just need a clarification because I I saw a tweet and I went, what?
Yeah. No. So, and it's unfortunate. I feel bad, but a lot of other people will be there. So, all right. With that, let's move on to NBA Rapid Fire.
Yes. First topic is seeding. And first in the West, pretty lined up. Warriors have a 3-game lead on the Spurs. Spurs have a 5-game lead on the Rockets. Rockets have a 5-game lead on the Jazz. Jazz, with that road trip, their hold on fourth is tenuous. They're 1 game ahead of the Clippers, and they're about to be a 0.5 game ahead of the Clippers because the Clippers are killing the Lakers right now.
Not Sixth surprising.
Would be the Thunder. Only a 0.5 game behind them is the Grizzlies, although the Grizzlies just had a really tough loss tonight against, can't remember who, but it was like a team you wouldn't think they would lose to. Pelicans. Okay. So the Grizzlies, it looks like they're probably going to stay in that 7th seed. And then you have Nuggets and Blazers fighting it out for the 8th seed. Nuggets and Blazers have both been good as of late. It's one of those things where the trade actually worked out for both teams. Nurkic was able to find a place where he could blossom. And then, you know, Plumlee fits in better with what the Nuggets are trying to do. And the Nuggets are doing pretty good playing 500 ball to keep that spot. But they need to watch out for the Blazers. Blazers have won 8 of the last 10. They would really like to not miss the playoffs this year. But we'll have to keep an eye on that. And then you never know, but Mavericks, they are 3 games out. It would take a lot of luck for them to get into the conversation, but they are still there, only 3 games out.
So here's a couple of things. First of all, based on right now, if the playoffs were to begin right now, there would be some wonderful matchups in the first round. Golden State versus Portland. Lillard and Steph. Be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
They'd still get the Nuggets.
Oh, they would get the Nuggets. Sorry. However,
Nuggets are 8.
However, I don't know. Right now, it would be the Nuggets. So let's just go off right now. Nuggets versus Golden State, which would be fun. You'd go San Antonio versus Memphis. Oh, gee, we've seen how that's played in year in and year out. In fact, Memphis has upset the Spurs. That could be a fun matchup right there.
Yeah, if they're, that's like the one team Memphis would want is the Spurs.
I agree.
Anyone else, nah. But the Spurs, yeah, that's a good matchup for them.
And then like and then that. 3 versus 6, you'd get the two MVP candidates versus each other.
I mean, Russ versus Harden, I really hope it winds up being that.
So do I. That would be a blast to watch, really. And then you'd have 4-5, the Clippers versus the Jazz, and I think that would be a fun matchup. We've already seen some good games come out of that, especially recently. It just...
Yeah, that'll be a real... Jazz are about to make that a real rivalry. Clippers have had their number a lot over the past few years, but right. That last game really showed that, yeah, we're about to have a good rivalry over the next couple of years.
No. So, I mean, lots to look forward to in the West as the playoff matchups start to play out a little bit. I will say this of the Denver Portland, and I mentioned this in message to you guys earlier, Portland right now does hold the tiebreaker over Denver should they end the season tied. And that's a tiebreaker you're going to have to watch as the season comes to an end.
Yeah, it really could come down to that with them.
So they play each other one more time. If Denver were to win that matchup, it would be a tied matchup between the two of them. And then it goes to the division leader. And who has the better division record? Is it going to be Denver or is it going to be Portland? Right now, Portland has the better division record. But then and then you'd go head-to-head. Well, that's we've already decided that a head to head one loss percentage or division win loss. I mean, there's the tiebreaker gets real in depth as you go down the fifth or sixth, seventh option there.
So here's why I think Portland's going to eventually get the 8th seed.
Right.
Denver has 4 home games and 8 road games left. They have home with Cavs, road with the Pacers, home with the Pelicans. Then they have a 5-game road trip.
Ew.
You don't want to make a long road trip this late in the season.
No, you don't.
And then they'll have 2 more home games, and then they end with 2 road games. And that final road game is going to be against the Thunder, and the Thunder still might be in a situation where they're worried about seeding. So that's kind of rough to know that you have that you're 4-8 with your road versus home. Coming down the stretch. And even then, your home games aren't gimmies.
Yeah. So
now with Portland, it's a little easier. Portland has a lot of home teams left. In fact, they have, counting tonight, they have, 10 home games and 3 road games left. Now they're behind to the Bucks right now, but that is a road game. And we'll see if that ultimately turns around for them. But that is a much easier schedule than what Denver's facing.
I agree. And as good as Denver has come on of late, and as good as Jokic has been, and you know, the way they split that up and they put Nurkic up in Portland, which has worked well for both teams, I just think Portland's going to get the upper hand on that matchup. And I think we're going to see a rematch of Golden State versus Portland that we saw in the second round last year, and I think it's going to be that way in the first round this year. So, am I right? Didn't they play the second round last year against each other? Do you remember?
I can't remember last year's.
Because I remember Lillard really took it at him for a part of that series. I thought it was second round because I thought Portland got all the way up to the fourth or fifth seed, didn't they, last year?
Portland beat the Clippers in the first round,
that's
if
right.
I recall.
Yep. So it was
because there's the injury. Yeah.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. So it was Portland versus Golden State in that second round. Right. And that was a good series, too. As short as it was still a good series. So I'd love to see that in the first round. I think it'll be kind of fun to watch. So... all right, let's jump over to the East. You mentioned the Eastern Conference. Looks like they're going to have some fighting down the stretch as well.
Yeah, Cleveland has a 2-game lead. I think they've got all the rest out of their system, and I think they will manage to hold on. But they have a 2-game lead over Boston. Boston has a 2.5-game lead over the Wizards. Wizards and Raptors are only half game apart, so they're going to be fighting it out for 3rd and 4th. Big gap between 4th and 5th. Right now, the Hawks are 5th. Pacers are a game behind at 6th. Miami Heat has come on strong lately. They are now the 7th seed. And I expect they're right now at 35 and 36. I expect them to finish with at least a .500 record, if not a winning record, by the time the season's over. 8th seed right now is Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks have been strong as late as well. So the Pistons and the Bulls have managed to fall out of the playoffs lately. And I think overall, the way those teams are playing, that it is going to wind up being this way in the East. I think that the Heat and the Bucks are going to hold on, and the Pistons and the Bulls are going to miss out again.
So
that's where I see it going.
I just want to clarify. You said that who's going to have the top seed again?
Cleveland.
Oh, that sounds right. I think I need to crack open a cold one.
All is right in the world is what you're saying then, Devin. All is right.
Just as I said it would be.
Yeah, just as I think we all said it would be.
No.
We all did.
It was prophesied.
To begin the season, we all did. Are you saying recently we changed it?
Last week. Or the week before, recently, there was some debate, I believe.
Yes, but we never said that we believed Cleveland would lose that. We simply said they looked like they were in trouble. And did they not? Yes, they did.
Alan, I'm just going to sit here and enjoy this delicious, ice-cold, Minute Maid pink lemonade made with real lemons.
Yes, listeners, you thought he was going to say beer. I know you did. We're a family-friendly podcast. No beer. If everybody could see the picture if I could take a picture of that, Devin with a gleam in his mouth, smiling and holding up the drink going, Minute Maid.
You know, people used to get drunk in family-friendly movies all the time. Look at Dumbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
I'm just saying.
I'm not that kind of man, John. Sorry, anyway, let's talk about the East.
And you know what? Elephants don't fly either, so let's stop right there. All right. Finishing
that you
off,
know of. All right.
We talked East.
Cleveland is in the middle of a four-game road trip right now. They're 1-1. They lost to the Clippers. I think they rested players. And then they beat the Lakers. They still need to play the Nuggets and the Hornets. Both of those teams have actually been hot as of late. Wouldn't surprise me if they split those. Home against the Wizards, that'll be a tight one for them. Road against the Spurs. Which one will rest their players first? Who knows? But then they have some easy ones. They still have the Sixers on their schedules. They have the Hawks twice. I expect them to have their number there. They have Orlando still, you know. They do have a road game against Boston. That'll probably be fiercely fought if it's still close at that point. But, you know, that's still almost 2 weeks away.
Okay. So there you go. That's matchups as they appear. And as things start to wind down with the final 11, 12 games, dozen games or so. Last but not least on NBA Rapid Fire, there has been a heavy, heated conversation on Twitter and through media about resting players. In fact, so much so that Commissioner Adam Silver has now stepped in and asked owners to take a look at it. What are your thoughts, John?
Well, it's becoming worse. I mean, Popovich kind of started it last year when he rested all of his starters on two nationally televised games, and Stern fined him $250,000.
And Pop said, I really don't care?
Well, he did it anyway, and as time has gone on, more and more teams are resting their players. It is becoming a thing. And so more and more often, when you have these amazing marquee matchups, one of the team just decides to just rest their players. So it's not an exciting matchup after all. And I heard Locke sharing the story the other day of a family from Montana where they, you know, they're in Montana, so they can't see the NBA. So they only go to maybe one NBA game a year. They went clear to Los Angeles. They went to Disneyland. They bought a ticket to the Clippers-Cavs game. They're excited to see LeBron, and they don't see LeBron because he's resting. So, you know, I think it is a problem of resting players too much, because for all the money they charge fans to sit in those seats and then you don't get to see the best display. I mean, that's a ripoff.
No, I agree. And I had a conversation about this earlier today, actually a little in depth about it, and was talking about the same thing. I see the concern on both sides. I mean, there's a case made for resting players. Let's look no further than last year where the Warriors pushed for 73 wins, and what happened when they reached the finals? They ran out of gas. They really did. So, you know, and then there's the problem of the back-to-backs, which I think if we heard right, the NBA plans to address going forward, where it's not going to be as much of an issue, I believe, starting next season. Weren't they going to extend a couple extra weeks?
Yeah, they're adding
an
extra week and a half to the season just so that they can have more space and have fewer back-to-backs.
Which I think the back-to-backs are the biggest complaint, if you ask Pop, I'm guessing, and a lot of the players, those back-to-backs are brutal. So get rid of them. You know, my issue is, as I see it on that side, but then the fans, back to your point, it's true. I almost think if you're going to rest your players, rest them at home. When most of your fans are at home and see them every night, rest them at home. When you go on the road, don't rest them, because you're going on the road and it's road games that fans want to see who's coming to town. And let's face it, Utah Jazz prices, for example, don't they go up when LeBron James comes in town? It's usually a little bit more of an expensive game with no deals because LeBron sells tickets. So on those road games, you want to do that. But at the home games, I can see resting a player here and there if you want to.
Kind of, but what obligation do you really have to another team?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean? If you're resting your players in home games and availing them to the fans on road games, do home fans really care if you're playing all of your road games, but you're not showing up to all the home games? Because that's no fun for fans if they're about to go to a game and then they hear, oh, they're resting all of our starters tonight. Well, I don't want to go watch our bench get killed by the other team because they're not resting their guys.
Right. No, and I get it. I agree. I just, my whole thought process here is allow them to rest, but I just, you have to learn, you have to figure out how you're going to do it and space it out so that you're not doing it a lot. And I think there's becoming an issue where it's regularly.
Yeah, I think there's been too much rest this year. On the other hand, there's been a ton of injuries this year.
Yeah,
they're trying to balance everything out. They're trying to figure it out. I mean, they've already added time to the schedule this year. You know, they started the season a few days earlier this year anyway, so that they could have a longer rest for the All-Star break. And there are fewer back-to-backs this season than there have been in many years. But and they're gonna stretch it out even further.
Well, and I think
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think resting players sends a message to NBA fans that, well, we don't care about the regular season either, which I think is a problem in and of itself. That the regular season has come to mean a whole lot less these days than it used to. And do you resolve that problem by cutting back on NBA games, and instead of having an 82-game season, you drop it down to 65 or 70 games? I don't know whether that's going to resolve it either. Does it?
Well, they're not going to cut games because that's cutting in revenue. And even though that is probably the right solution, they're not going to do it. So you have to figure out other ways around this. You know, the 82-game schedule is here to stay.
Right.
Personally, I love the 82-game schedule.
So do I.
But I admit I don't like seeing this increase in resting. But I also want the players to be healthy. You know, I mean, the Jazz haven't needed to rest players because they're always hurt. So everyone's just getting rest anyway because they're always hurt.
Right. Which, I don't know if you saw the tweet earlier today that I shared. The Jazz have lost 8 games on the season due to injuries. They'd already be at 51 right now if it weren't for injuries. There you have it, folks.
Well, let's do this. Let's go through. There have been 71 games played so far. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Hayward has played 64. Rudy has played 70. George Hill has played 44. Hood has played 50.
Wow.
Maybe I should do it this way. I mean, you know, 71 games. Think about it. So Hood has already missed 21 games. Derek Favors, he's only played 47 games so far this year.
Right.
Joe Johnson, he's played 67. Ingles is the only one to play all 71 games. Max played 46, and a lot of those were DMPs. Exum, 56. Most of the ones he missed were DMPs. You know, on down the list here, Burks has played 35 games. You know, so Burks, if he plays in the next game, then he will have played at least half the season. It looks like he might actually play the majority of the season this year.
Yeah.
Which will be good for him because he only played 31 games last year and only 27 the year before.
Right. That's just, I mean, that's just insane. Jazz could be at 51 plus games already, if not for injury. But again, that goes back to your point. I mean, what's it going to take? I mean, is Adam Silver stepping in really going to resolve the issue? Because something tells me that if Popovich is going to turn down, you know, say, I don't care about the $25,000 fine or however much it is, and he's going to continue to rest guys, what is it going to take for Silver to send the message to the rest of the NBA, this is going to happen? Or is it going to take a lockout down the road because players have to decide to agree to that?
It's not just resting guys for resting them for the playoffs. It's resting guys for we're trying to tank.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, the Lakers have shelved Luol Deng and Timothy Mozgov for the season, even though they're both healthy, but they just want to tank. So they just said, we're just shutting them down.
Right. Yeah, it's a problem. Devin, you're folding your arms. You have any thoughts to insert on this?
Yes.
Go ahead.
The league just needs to stay out of it. Let teams run their team how they want to. Yeah, it sucks for some of the fans, but the fan base, your team is trying to do what is best for their own fan base. That is to win the games that matter, secure the playoff position with health, or to tank, which, you know, look at Golden State. You know, but they tanked to get where they're at.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. It's one of those things. Yeah, it's too bad that it comes to this, but these guys, let me put it this way. Most of us go to work. Most of us work a full-time job. Most of us have leave that we get to use because sometimes we need a day off, right?
Right.
When do these guys get a real day off?
They get 3 months during the summertime.
Do they really get 3 months?
Well, yeah.
Do you really think they take three months?
Most of them might work out, but let's be honest that once the playoffs are over on June 1st, they don't, fall camp doesn't start until September, end of August.
But
that's two months.
It's not the same thing.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I know, and I'm just throwing it out there that these guys are in the gym for practice, for morning shoot around, for games. I mean, give them the day off if they need it, especially when you get some of these older guys. I mean, like Tim Duncan resting, Ginobili resting. Are you really going to
have
a problem with that? Think about LeBron James. Think about the beating that man takes.
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying, so if you're, I'm looking at you for a second saying, okay, I call you up one night and say, Cavs are coming in town. They only come once a year. They're coming in town. LeBron's coming. They're at the top of their game right now. The Jazz are going to face them. It's going to be a big, big night. And you and I decide to buy tickets. Say I don't have season tickets. I mean, I do, but let's just say it's a situation where I don't. And you and I decide to spend, you know, $100 a piece to go sit lower bowl to go see LeBron James. And we get there only to find out LeBron James isn't there. And the Jazz win running away by 25. Does that not matter to you?
Well, if the Jazz win running away by 25, I'm going to be pretty happy regardless.
Okay, but that I'm okay.
But no, and that's what I'm saying. It sucks, but I'm not the coach. If that's what the coach wants to do for the other team, if that's what Tyronn Lue wants to do for the Cavs,
right?
That's up to him. And if LeBron James is saying, you know what, I'm on a 5-game road trip, I don't want to play this game tonight because I just got done playing a game last night that went into overtime at Houston or something like that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's why back-to-backs need to go away, in my opinion.
Right.
I still think they need to get rid of
even,
them.
Even if it's if there's a day in between. You know, I mean, think about it. These guys, this is not your pickup ball. This is not you go to the park. This is a lot more physical. This is a lot faster.
But I'm also going to make one more thought here, and both of you can weigh in if you want. With the way medicine is going nowadays, with the way training is going nowadays, with the new, inventive ideas coming out about all of this going on nowadays, I almost kind of find that argument not holding sway anymore either. I get it, flying and all of that. I get it. Players get tired. I'm not going to even begin to guess that they don't, because that's got to be brutal on you. But there's advances in medicine, advances in training now that I almost think that some of that is taken care of already. Not all of it, some of it.
Yeah, but I can tell you 3 years ago, I was playing basketball probably 3 or 4 times a week minimum. And I can tell you that as good as I felt when I was playing, I felt pretty exhausted and hammered the rest of the time. And that's just pickup hoops.
Okay.
You know, I and I'm a lot younger than some of these guys.
With less training on your back like they have. Right. No, you know, you're right.
Yeah, I'm not doing shoot around. I'm not doing practice. Right. I'm not in the weight room. I'm just going and I'm playing some hoops.
No.
So it's one of those things. It sucks. But to me, let the teams run how they want to and let them do what they want to. I was watching Wolves and Spurs tonight, and they were talking about it on the broadcast. And they start talking about, you know, well, what if these resting things, if you're making a difference in a player's career by a few years, you know, you think about resting Tim Duncan and the way that Pop did that when he's getting a DNP old, which is still like my favorite DNP ever. That could have prolonged his career by a couple of years.
Okay. But I'm going to go back, John. I want to know your thoughts. Go back to John Stockton. Stockton didn't rest. We never went through that. And how long did Stockton play in the league?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of old school guys who've weighed in on this. In fact, Joe Dumars is the one who said, I was always 100% the first day of training camp, and I was never 100% the rest of the year. But they all just played through it. And so this whole resting thing is just a new paradigm that's been introduced the past, you know, 3 or 4 years, and they're just doing it more and more.
Well, and I'm going to also argue that coaches can try to work the minutes a little bit better during the games. And I think part of the reason why Stockton was as durable as he was and lasted as long as he did is he had a backup for a while, Howard Eisley, that played extremely well. And Sloan got into a habit of substitution patterns that worked as such to give Stockton the rest. And, you know, maybe they can't do that nowadays either, but I sometimes wonder if managing minutes will help.
But where is this going to go? Because I had this conversation with a friend today. And he was saying, well, if someone comes to town, they should at least play like in the first quarter. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They should at least play part of the game. And I'm like, yeah, I get what you're saying. And I understand that. But where do you draw the line then with the league? Can the league really come in and say your starters have to play a minimum of 15 minutes? Or you know what I mean?
Do you think Adam Silver handled it right, John?
Yeah, I do.
I think that's where it goes to right now, Devin, is Adam Silver says, okay, owners, I'm putting this on you. You need to take a look at this and decide what's best for your team. And I think that's kind of what Adam Silver was saying. But you've got to figure out how to get a handle on this, because it's only going to get worse if you don't.
It's not a huge deal. I mean, if you look at this, how many teams are resting? And you can't do the whole, well, the Lakers are resting Mozgov and Dang, because the truth is, no one cares. Nobody cares. So let's just leave that alone. If you are tanking, no one is in the seats anyway, so just forget it. But the teams that do matter, the Warriors, the Cavs.
The Spurs. I would even argue that teams like the Clippers, Houston, and even the Jazz at this point in time might matter in some cases. Well, the Jazz, I'll take the rest, but some of those other players like the Houston Rockets, you know, resting Harden, although Harden came right out and said he wouldn't, but you know, I don't know. Yeah.
Harden rests every game on the defensive end of the floor. I don't want to hear it.
Anyway, we could go on and on about this topic. We really could. I think it's time to transition on, but it's a polarizing conversation in the NBA right now. And I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon, because it's become quite, you know, like I said, polarizing on both sides. So, is that it for NBA Rapid Fire?
Yeah, let's move on.
All right, let's move to listener questions. John, did we get any questions tonight?
We got this from Brian. Playoffs near, do the fourth quarter implosions scare you of the last two games? And this was after Cleveland and Chicago. And then after Indiana, he said, three straight Jazz losses, most have had their rest. What's their excuse now? Those implosions do concern me. The injuries concern me, and just the way the whole thing finished concerns me. I do think the Jazz are very much in danger of not getting to 50 wins. But it's also one of those things where as long as everyone can be healthy by the time you get to the playoffs. And I feel like I use that phrase so much that they probably won't be healthy. You know what? When we start the playoffs, there's a very good chance that Derek Favors still isn't ready to rejoin the team. George Hill's toe could still be bugging him. You know, there's all kinds of things like right. that could be going on. So yeah, I'm concerned.
Would you really say they were implosions though? I mean, you lost a no. game at Cleveland. You're going against LeBron James, the greatest player on the planet. I don't care what anyone says. He is hands down the best player on earth. You go to Chicago. I don't think they imploded. I think they just kind of blew the whole game, if I remember.
Yeah, I mean, they were competitive in that
game.
They
lost by 12 in the fourth quarter to Chicago.
Yeah, they were competitive for most of that game. The fourth quarter is where Chicago pulled
away.
Well,
and you look at Indiana, though. Indiana, it was one of those games where the Jazz just couldn't get over the hump. You know, they kept cutting it to four, and then the lead would grow. And then
yeah, they actually won
six.
The fourth quarter, but...
They kind of choked at the end when I believe they had a tie game with like 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes left.
Yeah.
But... the fourth quarter, like you're saying, it was actually kind of a rally. So and you got to look at it this way, Cleveland, but Indiana is also a very good home team. They've had a great record at home this year. So
they have.
Don't read too much into it. You're on the road in the middle of a road trip. You know what I mean? It's not one game and then you're back home.
Well, and who was it? John, I don't think it was you. I was almost going to say it was, but somebody pointed out on Twitter, they're more concerned with Indiana and what they've been doing over the last 20 games than they are with the Jazz going 1-3 on the road trip. Have you seen what Indiana's done? Win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one. It's been every other like that for the last 20 games. And their games, some of those losses are against teams they have no business losing against.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. You know what's funny with them? Okay, January 26th is the beginning of a 7-game winning streak. That is followed by a 6-game losing streak. And ever since then, it has been win-loss, 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 win.
Yep.
So they'll probably lose against the Celtics tomorrow.
Right? There's a concern there.
That is the weirdest fluctuation in the season I've ever seen.
The Jazz, I wouldn't call much of it an implosion. I mean, that one game, yes, but I'd be more concerned about some of the other things, some of those other teams are than with the Jazz. I feel like, again, I'm not hitting the panic button on the Jazz at all. So I hope that answers your question, Brian. I know you have one more question. I'm going to come back to it quickly. I want to address another question that I have had come up in a conversation. Who's better, Gordon Hayward or Paul George? Weigh in on it.
They're both really good players. They're comparable players. I can't say that one is that much better than the other. I am actually overall quite happy to have Hayward right now.
Okay.
Versus George. Just because George hit the last couple shots in that game does not mean George is better than Gordon Hayward, because Gordon Hayward outplayed him the vast majority of that game. He just couldn't hit that three at the end.
And that was
George managed his last two shots.
That was part B to my question, is that last shot by George Hill or George by Paul George. Good defense on Gordon or not?
I mean, it was good defense. He was right on him, and then George just did the jump up fadeaway shot to get it, and you know, Hayward was right on him. He just hit it.
Okay. Devin, you want to weigh in on these two questions? Gordon Hayward or Paul George? Or are you on the same boat?
I'm in the same boat. They're both great players. Okay. You really don't know unless they're in the same situation. You know what I mean? I feel like George may have a little bit of an edge because Utah, you've seen Hayward in the position that George is kind of in now, where he doesn't have maybe the full supporting cast that he needs around him. Hayward has really taken off this season, earning that all-star nod. And that really has to do with George Hill coming to Utah and with Rudy Gobert taking off. You know, there's been things that have had to happen for that, but really you can't go wrong with either player.
Okay. All right. And last but not least, the question that we had from Brian today, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on this. Brian subtweeted us for quite a while and then proceeded to tweet at us, John, and I don't know if you saw that. He wants us to weigh in on, and I don't know where he comes up with this stuff, but he's like, who's GOAT, Michael Jordan or LeBron James? And I don't know why he has to ask this question, because I think we all agree on this podcast that Michael Jordan is GOAT. Do we not?
No.
It's Michael Jordan.
It is Michael Jordan.
No.
Who is it, Devin?
It's not done yet.
Okay, but to this point, right now, you make a statement, as of right now, who's GOAT? It's Michael Jordan. Hands down.
I don't know.
You're not helping my case here, because that's why Brian tweeted at us, because apparently we thought otherwise.
I don't know. I mean, they're both spectacular players in their own right. I think LeBron is a better passer than Michael Jordan was. I think he is more of a team player. You know, I think Michael had that clutch, you know, that takeover a game, and he would do it all himself.
Well, and part of the reason why he asked this is he said, Jordan always beat the Jazz. LeBron hasn't been able to. Yeah, and I don't know that I've seen that either. It's been both ways. The Jazz pretty much could beat Jordan here in Salt Lake quite a bit, actually. So I don't know. It's a debatable, it's a great debate topic. I'm still going to say Michael Jordan's GOAT to this point. LeBron James is, I feel like the podium is too strong right now. Michael is GOAT. LeBron is awfully close to that second spot. And then it's everybody else after that.
I think LeBron, and this is gonna upset some people, I think LeBron may be a better all-around player compared to Michael. Michael was a fantastic scorer. He was clutch. He was an excellent defender. But LeBron James does not get the defending credit that he deserves.
Okay.
He can defend 1 through 5. Okay. No problem. He has the passing and the court vision that I don't know that MJ had.
Right.
He doesn't have the same scoring ability.
Right.
And quite the same takeover that Michael had, and that killer instinct, if you will. That's one of the criticisms that he's had throughout his career.
Agreed.
But LeBron can still take a game over. LeBron is still an incredible athlete.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at who Michael had
surrounding
him.
Yeah.
He had Pippen. You know, he had Kerr, a fantastic.
He had Rodman, who had won championships prior.
He had a great coach.
Yep.
LeBron did not come in and get a Phil Jackson for a coach.
No, you know, he didn't.
Who do you have? Mike Brown?
Yes, he did.
And then he had Spoelstra.
Uh-huh.
And then he had, well, now he has Tyronn Lue, but.
Yeah. I think the guy in between we all forgot about because it really didn't matter.
Right. Well, is it David Blatt?
David Blatt, yes.
You know, but I don't know. I want to say LeBron is a greater overall player.
Okay.
But I do not know if that is the case or not.
Okay.
I'm really curious where it's going to be, because you look at LeBron's scoring, he will catch and pass Jordan in all-time scoring.
Could still catch and pass Carl, possibly. It's far distant.
He could be number one overall when all is said and done.
Yeah, he could.
And the scary part of that is LeBron James is a pass-first player.
Yeah, he is.
You think about how many assists he'll have and how many points he'll have. It's insanity.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, there's your answer, Brian. Like it or not, that's your answer from the group here. So no other questions. I don't know. Do we, Blaine said what? That's a good question.
We don't know either, Blaine.
Yeah, we don't.
I'll say this though. Comparing LeBron and Michael, LeBron's 32 now. So you compare him at age 32 through Michael Jordan's career at 32. Both of them have a defensive rating of 103. LeBron's average offensive rating was 116 versus Michael's at 121.
So Michael was a better offensive threat. Absolutely. And I don't
both
think
both very good defenders. Michael was just a fiercer scorer, I would say.
Oh yeah, he was fierce and he was assertive and yeah.
And the numbers will be skewed. You know, I'm not going to deny that fact, because you have to realize MJ played some college ball.
Right.
Took some time off to go swing a bat.
Right.
Star in a movie.
Right.
But
okay. Well, that'll do it for listener questions. Let's move on to Devin's quick hits.
All right, let's start with the king. And a guy we talked about last week, Mr. LeVar Ball, was saying that his kids are set up for better success than LeBron's kids. And LeBron fired back with, keep my kid's name out of your mouth. Keep my family out of your mouth. This is dad to dad. It's a problem now. Do you guys agree? Is LeVar Ball going to the point now where he starts talking about a player's kids? That should be off limits, no?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron's kids are still kids. So, yeah, just...
I think he's... Yeah. I think I'm going to go with our puns last week. I think he's burking up the wrong tree.
Oh, my. Oh, my. No, I just... LeVar Ball should be worrying about his kid in high school that's a ball hog and taking terrible shots to close out games. I mean, that's where he should be focused right now. Deal with your own kids that are in school. Don't be worrying about someone else's.
John, were you laughing at what Devin just said or because you finally caught on to what I was doing?
Let's move on.
Let's do that. Okay, Vince Carter, ESPN, posted a video saying Vince has still got it. Looks like a between-the-legs dunk at 40 years old.
He's still got it.
How old does he have to be for it to be, like, super impressive? I mean, if he's doing this at 45, do you care any more than he's doing it at 40? Once he gets to 50, is it incredible? If he's 70 years old and dunking, I mean, what do we do?
Yeah. Pay the man. No, I don't know.
Oh, then he's the GOAT.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
You're right. Doing that at 70. Bow down before the one you serve.
Absolutely.
Okay. Just a quick touch. Last week, I think we talked about tempers flaring lately. We've seen that happen again. You saw it happen with the Warriors and the Thunder, and it happened again tonight with Robin Lopez and Serge Ibaka being ejected, both throwing punches.
Oh dear!
In a game between the Raptors and the Bulls, looks like it was in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And any chance that we have, you know, something serious go down before the end of this season? I mean, like, do we have to like watch out for the next Ron Artest?
No, but I bet we have some fists fly in a playoff game. You know, Chicago was way ahead in that game, and I blame Lopez more than Ibaka. I watched it, and you know they both came down. Ibaka thought Lopez bumped him. Ibaka then like elbowed him in the back. Lopez took exception, like slammed the ball out of his hands, and Lopez swung first, and it looked like he missed him. He might have grazed him, and Ibaka swung, and he grazed him back a little more closely, but it really wasn't that big a deal. But just because fists were flying, they both had to get ejected. But since the Bulls won't make the playoffs, you don't really have to worry about Lopez.
And as long as Draymond Green keeps his legs to himself, I think we'll be okay too.
He won't, and that's why we're going to have a problem in the playoffs. Draymond is going to kick someone in the junk in the playoffs.
You're welcome for that.
All right. NFL draft will be coming up soon. It says here per ESPN that Deshaun Watson is really impressing and climbing up the draft ladder. Do you think that the Clemson quarterback could be the first quarterback taken?
At this rate, I might as well hope so. Maybe it'll be... Maybe it'll be my Niners that take him.
Yeah, I think he will be.
Okay.
Who else? I mean, Trubisky from North Carolina is supposed to do well, but... Who would you draft before Watson, really?
At this point in time, I'm not sure you would.
I think he will be the first quarterback to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's stick with NFL talk. Beast mode, Marshawn Lynch. Is he coming back or is he not? The rumor I heard last was that maybe he wanted to play for the Raiders.
Well... Okay. That, I mean, I was sad when he retired. It'd be cool to see him back. Even if he's not going to Seahawks, I like the Raiders too, so I guess I'd be okay with that. But I don't know. I thought he went out the right way. He just quietly went out.
I mean,
he was young. He definitely retired before I thought he was going to, but.
Well, and I just look at it this way. The age at which running backs last in the league has been shortened over the years anyway. I mean, even look at Frank Gore. You know, he revived his career in Indianapolis, but you just don't see running backs last very long in the NFL anymore, not with the hits and the amount of times they carry the ball. It didn't surprise me that he retired, and I'm not. I would be surprised if he came back. I really would. I don't know that he will. I think that's all talk right now.
Okay. The jersey was found, guys.
Oh, long national nightmare is over.
Oh, boy. I can tell you how much sleep I lost over it.
Deflate jersey.
Do you care?
Well, hey, when Trump's your friend, no expense spared in getting your jersey back.
Wow.
International cooperation.
And we go Trump shots here.
All
okay.
Right, we're going to the next quick hit.
No, you weren't done with your thought on that
one. I'm done with
my thought
on that one now.
Because I know.
We're moving on. We are moving on. Jim Harbaugh. The Harbaugh says that Colin Kaepernick will be just fine. He takes it one step further in saying that he thinks he will win titles. Alan, I want you to take this one. Does Colin Kaepernick land a job? And if he does land a job, does he win a title before his career is over? As an actual player, not as a guy on the bench?
Well, a couple of years ago, I would have said yes. But over the last year or so, with what I feel like his mind has been caught up in the distractions off the field with the social issues, things like that, I think it will take an awful lot for a coach to get him refocused in the game again. I for one, was hoping he would stay with the Niners because I felt like maybe he'd have a new opportunity under new head coach Shanahan, but I don't know. I think that was very, you know, if anybody understands the mind of Kaepernick, I felt like Harbaugh did, because I thought Harbaugh and Kaepernick connected really well. And I thought had they stayed together and had the Niners let them stay together, could have seen them in the Super Bowl again. You know, let's not forget he's been in a Super Bowl. So could he be there again under the right tutelage? Yeah, but I'm more inclined to say no now than I would have 2 years ago, or a year ago for that matter.
John?
Where is Harbaugh now?
Michigan,
yeah. I just don't see Kaepernick starting for a winning team again.
Okay.
There you go.
Let's do our last quick hit.
Okay.
We're going to do a little more football. Alan's not going to care. John, you might care. Mr. Kassar was relieved of his duties with Real Salt Lake. I know it was a good move.
Yeah, I saw that after only 3 games.
I know it's a good move. I just want to know, how good of a move is it?
Well, if you're going to do it this early, you wonder why they didn't just do it in the offseason.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes. 3 games into the season, man. What are you doing?
Okay. This reminds me of when the Rockets fired Kevin McHale after only 7 games into the season.
Head scratcher? Yeah.
I mean, anytime you fire a coach this early, I question what's going on in your front office. Are they constantly second guessing themselves and just pulling the trigger at the wrong times? That's my reaction to that.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see how this season pans out. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that was following the home opener, for Real, which they lost to the LA Galaxy, blew a lead, I believe a 1-0 lead, and then ended up losing 2-1 to LA. So, just a curious time for Real Salt Lake fans. Good move, I think, overall, but not sure it'll it'll help save the season by any means this year. So we will see.
Okay. That'll do it for quick hits. Let's wrap this baby up with some pop culture. John, what do you have?
Mm-hmm. I saw a movie this week.
Would it be the same one I saw or no?
No, it wasn't.
Wow.
My wife and I did not go see a movie this weekend. So on my own, I went to see a matinee of The Belko Experiment, which is the other new release from this weekend.
Okay.
And it's about an American company in Colombia where they all get shut in the building and this voice comes over the intercom and tells them that of the 80 employees there, they have to kill 30 of them in the next 2 hours or 60 of them will be killed. And it's a fun little experiment in human behavior. And yeah, it gets violent pretty quickly. And I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. It's one of those what if scenarios like The Purge, kind of in that vein. And I was entertained by it. I can't say I was that surprised, especially toward the end. But it was fun to watch. I enjoyed the journey.
Remind me never to work for John.
Yeah, it does make me think of if I was locked in my office building and we had the same thing. How would I react? How would everyone react?
Yeah, it would be a little weird. What was it rated?
It's rated R. There's a ton of blood.
Great. All right. What was it called again? The Belko Experiment?
The Belko Experiment.
All right. Well, there you go. I went and saw Beauty and the Beast. It is a must-see. I don't care who you are. You need to see Beauty and the Beast. I had a little bit of kind of a nostalgic experience. I was reminded over the weekend that when I saw Beauty and the Beast, the animated film, come in theaters in 1991, I was 17 years old. And just so happened that this was the day after my oldest daughter's 17th birthday. She was 17, and I was like, wow, okay, this I get to relive this a little bit as if I was 17 again. And we went, and it was well done. Again, for those listening, if you have not seen it, I strongly, strongly recommend it. It brought back a very nostalgic feel. I thought the cast of characters all did very, very well. There are a few things I could nitpick about it, but overall, I felt like it just hit it out of the park. The music, they added a few different tunes that didn't exist in the original. And I got to give my props to Tim Rice. Alan Menken and Tim Rice did the music for this movie. Alan Menken, of course, had a hand in it, I believe, originally with Howard Ashman, and they both did it. But this time around, Tim Rice put his fingerprint on this, his imprint, and it was obvious from the get-go that there was a lot of Tim Rice influence on the music, and it was excellent. So definitely for the nostalgic feel, go see it. But overall, as an entertaining movie, I would recommend it for families or for anybody, really. So
cool. Yeah, I will probably go see it next week since the big new movie this next week is Power Rangers. So we'll probably see Beauty and the Beast next week.
There you go. I will likely see Power Rangers this coming weekend. My son wants to see it, so if I have time, I'll probably go see it.
Yeah.
You don't sound that thrilled.
I was never into Power Rangers. I never understood it. And my daughter told me that they got the colors wrong, so they're not going to be clamoring to see it either.
Well,
I have no idea if she's right. She just said that they got the colors wrong.
And I was never into Power Rangers either, but my son, my 10-year-old, we went and saw Beauty and the Beast, and of course Power Rangers preview was on, and my son looks at me and he goes, "Dad, that comes out next week. We need to go see it." So
you know what's funny? I saw the preview in front of Belko Experiment. I saw the preview for Life, which is that alien movie that's opening next week.
Okay.
And then right after that, we saw the preview for Alien Covenant. And so it was like two previews in a row with pretty much the same story.
And do either one of them appeal to you?
Yeah, I love alien movies. And Life is actually getting good reviews, so I'll probably go see that next time I want to catch a matinee. And I'm hoping that this summer when the Alien Covenant one comes out, it seemed to be an answer to Prometheus, where Prometheus was very vague and didn't answer a lot of questions that it asked. And so this one's supposed to tie Prometheus a little more clearly to the Alien franchise. I'm just hoping, from what I've seen from the preview, is it looks like it's just doing a carbon copy of the same formula. And I really hope it doesn't wind up being that.
Yeah. I want to do a show in a couple of weeks and preview summer blockbuster, if that's okay. Because yeah, there is
definitely we'll do that sometime in April.
Yeah, because this summer's supposed to be big. There are a lot of films coming out this summer that should make this year a very enjoyable movie watching summer, I think. So I'd love to discuss them. So we'll have to have a show coming up here in the next couple of weeks as we get into April and talk about it.
Yeah, the comic book movies alone is gonna be huge.
So all right. Well, let's wrap it up. Devin, you have anything to add to pop culture or this week?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. No, I mean I watch the TV. I see the shows. They're good shows. They're the best shows. But we don't have to talk about it. Well, we'll talk next week.
Okay. All right. Well, let's wrap it up this week. That will do it for yet another edition of Jedi and Germs. We want to thank you all for listening and riding along with us each and every week. You can find us in all the usual places. Just look up Jedi and Germs at your favorite podcast listening location, or Facebook or Twitter. You'll find us anywhere you listen. Thank you for joining us. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.